You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to No Chefs Allowed, the show where each week we cook with a new ingredient or try a new dish right from our kitchens and piped into yours. We're super excited to be part of the Heritage Radio lineup. Today is our first No Chefs Allowed show on Heritage. And what's kind of crazy about my sister and I on No Chefs Allowed is that unlike the Heritage shows that you know and love, we're not actually seated in Brooklyn at the studio. Instead, I'm cooking in Chicago in my own kitchen. And my sister Trisha, say hello, Trisha.
Hi, everyone.
Trisha is cooking in her kitchen in Columbus, Ohio.
Sunny Columbus, Ohio, where all your dreams come true. That's what I like to say about it. I know. It's a great place, the Midwest here. But yeah, I'm super excited to be on Heritage Radio and also excited for being able to cook with you and cook up dinner tonight for our families, which we do every Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern. And today, like on No Chefs Allowed, we like to work with one ingredient at a time or learn one new dish at a time. And today, we're going to be working with crepes.
Crepes. Come on, you Midwesterner. Pretend you're French for just a second. Crepes.
I don't know. I don't think I can pretend to be French. I'm so not French, and I'm scared of the French. So
I don't know why you're so afraid of the French. They're very nice people. It's not true what they say, that they're rude. At least I didn't find them to be rude in Paris, unless, you know, well,
I guess. Unless you just met someone rude.
Right. They're no ruder than any other place on earth, in my humble Frenchy opinion. So, anyway, we are calling the show today, because it's our first show on Heritage, and because we're making crepes, we're calling our show today Bonjour Heritage Radio. So welcome to us, and welcome to all you listeners. We're super I said that already. Super excited to be here.
You should say it in French.
I don't know how.
I know. The only
Magnifico. Wait, what's that? Mexican.
Spanish.
Spanish. It's called Spanish.
Yes. For French, all I know is Je m'appelle Omelette du fromage.
You that.
No, and that's the only thing I've ever learned. My name is Cheese Omelette. So maybe we should have been working with omelettes today, but
maybe,
we're not.
But I think crepe is very, very similar. So, okay.
So what are you making today?
Oh, I am making a buckwheat crepe today. And I have to admit that in preparation for the show, I did a little practice over the weekend. And I went to, Julia Child, right? I mean, who wouldn't start there? And I did flip some crepes over the weekend, which was fabulous. I will tell you, it was like a little dreamy afternoon. My kids were both with friends. My husband was on a golf trip, and I just it was like I had the whole afternoon to myself, and I opened up a bottle of vin blanc, some white wine, and I turned on Belinda Carlisle. Remember Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's?
The Go-Go's? That seems the 80s.
No, she's not. No. Belinda Carlisle has a CD where she sings all in French.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little departure from the Go-Go's for Belinda, but it's quite lovely.
Did she sing the Go-Go's song in French or different songs?
No, different songs.
That would be really cool.
The Go-Go's translation in French.
In French.
No. So anyway, I made crepes and listened to music and had some wine and had a glorious afternoon cooking. But, of course, for the show, I didn't want to do what I had already done over the weekend, so I decided to go with buckwheat crepe.
Were you just – you're making buckwheat today, or you made buckwheat on Saturday?
No, I'm making buckwheat today. On Saturday, I did basically the easiest first one in the Julia Child cookbook.
Okay.
Basic flour, butter, milk, salt.
Eggs.
Yeah.
That was my recipe. I started looking up recipes for crepes. I don't know if I can call them crepes.
And just don't. Be free.
Okay. I'll just be myself. And when you text the word crepe to anybody, it autocorrects to creeps. So now I'm going to have that in my head too. But So I was looking up crepe recipes, just, and I knew it was pretty basic, but there's some with milk, there's some with milk and water, and then I even found one with milk and soda water. So oh. I don't know. My impression of that must mean that they're trying to make it fluffier, maybe, like a tempura batter type thing. I don't know. But the other thing I found interesting about making batter, the batter, was that all the recipes say to chill it. And I just don't know. None of them told me why. Yeah, I need to know the science behind that.
Well, the good news is we have a guest today, as you are aware, Paul Humphrey, who is food truck owner, crepe master, and he is going to come on the line in a little bit and talk to us about his business of selling crepes via food truck, and also hopefully share with us some of the inside scoop on why and how these little pancakes work. Because you're right, Tricia, I have what I'm making today is different in that it doesn't use butter. The first one I made was what I kind of expected, right? Like I said, flour, water, butter, milk, a little salt. But mm-hmm. the buckwheat called for, and this is not a pure buckwheat crepe. It's buckwheat and flour, so it's not gluten-free for any of you who are looking for that, although there are lots of recipes out there for that. But this one didn't use any butter at all, and it was milk and eggs and a little sugar, just a tablespoon of sugar. And oh my gosh, no, I'm realizing it does call for butter. Guess I better get on that.
I think the lesson to learn here is only make crepes when you're alone for the afternoon listening to Belinda Carlisle. Because if you don't, if you mix anything else into it, like trying to do a radio show or talking to your sister, you will mess up. So that's the lesson to be learned from No Chefs Allowed.
So I guess I need to get some butter out of the fridge and melt it. Oh, how did I miss? Well, I know how I missed it. I get moving too fast and I skip an ingredient or two. I wonder what would happen.
It's hysterical. You know, I do want to say this about crepes too, because I have a couple years ago, I got a crepe pan for my birthday because my son wanted to make crepes. So I got a crepe pan for my birthday. See how that works out?
Yeah.
And it came with like the batter and a, you know, like a... Like powder, right. Yeah. And I had never made them before, so I was like, oh, this is cool. But then I started looking up, like, what you put in it, and basically flour and salt. So I was like, this is a labeled bag of flour and salt that says crepe mix on it. It was hysterical. But, yeah, so years ago I made crepes, but also the funny thing about that experience, which is why I haven't made them since, is that the pan I had rusted in, like, 5 seconds. Oh. So I bought a new pan for this show, which I'm kind of excited about. And hopefully it's
too. Yeah. Because that's why we do this show, right? So we can buy new stuff.
Yeah, that is a fun perk for the show, I must admit. I got mine at IKEA for $7.99. So I just want everyone to know, if you want to start making crepes, this is a small investment.
That's right. Flour, salt, and a $7 pan.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
You can call Frenchie.
They practically gave it to me.
I know, it's sad. Yeah. Okay. All right, so I got some butter out, so I'm going to melt that so that I, for those of you listening, you have to kind of imagine we're in our kitchens, we're cooking, we've got headsets on, and we're attached to our computers on our countertops. So it's kind of, if you don't have your ingredients ready, you're sunk.
Yeah.
But I was able to reach the refrigerator, so that's good.
That is good. You got a nice setup over there to be able to reach everything, even though you're tethered to your computer.
Yeah, it is nice.
I'm a little nervous to what I did is I made my batter earlier today because of the chilling factor. I just kind of didn't – I wanted to put my best foot forward, you know. So I've pulled it out, and I'm excited to start to try this. But I have another question. Like, so now that I have this nonstick pan, do I need to put butter in the pan?
What? You know, what I will tell you is that over the weekend, when I was doing them, I put a little olive oil on the pan before I did each crepe, and it made it, like, kind of golden, you know? Ooh. And when I did one without, you know, it still worked because it was a nonstick pan, but it didn't have that same – it wasn't as pretty.
Huh. Well, I don't know, because I have butter within reach, and I don't have olive oil within reach. So maybe at the break, I'll get some olive oil. But so do you want to – what are you putting in yours? Okay, oh. So crepes are the crepe, to me, seems like the hard part, right? But then you can fill it with anything. So what are you putting in yours?
Well, I decided to go really simple because I wanted the kids to eat it. So yeah. I'm just doing ham and cheese inside my crepe. And then, I don't know, I've just had, like, this funny mushroom – thing. Like, I want to eat mushrooms, so I'm gonna just saute some mushrooms and kind of spoon that over probably just my crepe because probably the kids won't eat that. So basic ham and cheese
on the inside, a mushroom sauce on the outside.
Yes, what do you think?
That sounds tasty and savory. It reminds me, actually, I don't know if you remember this, but this is Trisha, and I used to live in Chicago down the street from Megan. And, Megan, you took me to have my first crepe in all of the world on Broadway at, I think it was called La Creperie.
Yes, it's called La Creperie. It's on Clark Street, actually.
I feel like I had that crepe while we were there 25 years ago.
Yeah, they have a mushroom crepe that with, like, a cheesy white sauce in it that's delicious. Huh.
Yeah.
So maybe that was my inspiration. I don't know. But, yeah, it's been a while since I've been to La Creperie.
Still there? I feel like I come visit in Chicago, everything has changed.
No, but it's still there.
Cool. It was good. So that makes sense.
Okay, so I want you to tell us what you're going to make today because I'm going to put all my ingredients in and whip this batter up. So I've got 2 cups of whole milk, a tablespoon of sugar, a quarter – teaspoon of sea salt. I have now 3 tablespoons of butter melted.
Nice.
A half cup of buckwheat flour, which was not easy to get because I decided to grind up the buckwheat myself last night, which was way too hard. And 3/4 cups all-purpose flour, 3 large eggs. All right. So,
nice.
All right. So I'll be whipping away. What are you going to do with your crepes today?
Well, since we've already discussed my fear of anything French, I'm going back to my roots. I'm going to make manicotti. So I'm turning the French crepe into shells for manicotti. So what I did, my mind was like, oh, my gosh, I can fill it with anything. So I think I bought every cheese that you could buy at Trader Joe's. I've got ricotta. I've got mascarpone. I've got blue cheese. I've got brie. I've got cream cheese. I've got cheddar. But Parmesan cheese all sitting in front of me right now.
Uh-huh.
But I think I'm going to go with the ricotta and some spinach and eggs and Parmesan cheese. And so I'm going to, hopefully, with Paul's help, bust out some crepes and then roll them, put the ricotta in and roll them up and put them in a pan and put my famous tomato sauce on top with some mozzarella cheese and bake them for dinner.
Wow.
Yes.
You're just really walking away from Bonjour Heritage Radio.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, and going with the manicotti, but it's okay, you know.
I'll say ciao.
Take your crepes. Yeah, you say ciao, Heritage Radio.
I'm
all right, so this batter is really thin. I mean, and it's probably fine.
It's supposed to be thin, right? It's supposed to
yeah.
be horrible.
Yeah, it smells so good. I don't know about you, but I love the smell of buckwheat. There's something about it.
Well, I have some buckwheat here, but I haven't worked with it yet, so I'm excited. You've kind of made me excited about working with buckwheat, so I got that going for me. But I didn't want to do too many exciting things on one day.
Oh, I did. I did.
Well, you're an overachiever that way. I need to pace my excitement.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, listen, why don't we take a quick break and get Paul on the line so that we can your batter's ready, and my batter looks like it's ready, too, so we'll get our new crepe pans oiled up and ready to go and get Paul on the phone.
That sounds good. I'm excited to start. I'm a little nervous.
All right, so folks, we'll be back in just about 60 seconds with Paul Humphrey from Leslie's Creperie, the man with the truck in Columbus. So stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with No Chefs Allowed. Welcome back, everybody, to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan, here with my sister, Trisha.
Hi, welcome back, everyone.
We are really happy that you're here with us for our show that we're calling Bonjour Heritage Radio, as a welcome to us, I guess, welcoming ourselves to the Heritage Radio family.
It's like we invited ourselves on.
I know, it kind of feels like we did, didn't we? We kind of did.
we'll do that in another show.
Luckily, Heritage Radio are very nice hosts, and they said, sure, why don't you just do this thing? So we are here with Paul Humphrey. Paul, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Paul Humphrey is the owner of Leslie's Creperie, if I'm saying it right, right here in Columbus, Ohio. And Paul is the epitome of a no chef because you did something before you got into the food industry. Is that right?
Yes. I was in residential commercial construction sales for about 8 years.
Which is a natural segue into crepes, right?
Absolutely.
Most people who start out in commercial residential construction start, you know, buy a food truck. It's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, natural progression.
Natural.
So, Paul, why, when you did make the move, why crepes?
Wife and I had gone on our honeymoon over to Europe, and we were in Italy and Greece, and we had crepes every day. Got back, and it really started with just me wanting a Nutella and banana crepe and not really be able to access it easily in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And also, once we started kind of tossing around the idea of having a crepe cart in Columbus, we started to do the research, and the numbers made sense, and the trends made sense that we felt crepes would become a little bit more mainstream and more popular. So all started with a honeymoon and a crazy idea.
A craving.
Yes, exactly.
Forced you to buy a food truck. I love it.
Yes.
I like to think it all began with love then, if it started on the
honeymoon. That's it.
And that's why you call it Leslie's Creperie, because it's named after your wife?
Yes. And also, I guess with that, too, it was you want a strong name in a business, and I felt like her name and her as an individual was being properly represented, and she was a good example of our brand and what we were trying to get across. So it just was a natural fit for us.
That makes sense. It does sound a little more lovely than Paul.
Not so much on a crepery.
I think you're right.
I think you made a wise choice. So, Paul, you're just coming in. Megan and I have both made our crepe batter. And I want to talk a little bit about consistency and what the best consistency for crepe batter is.
I mean, you definitely want smooth. Obviously with any pancake or any type of batter like that, you're going to want to really make sure you're mixing in it at a high enough revolution where you're smoothing it out. And also it's going to be thin. It shouldn't be runny. A lot of times if it's runny, you may need to add some more flour to give a little more substance, but it should be thin. That's pretty much pretty basic. I heard you talking on the show, and, I mean, the ingredients are really basic.
I've got a good consistency, actually. Mine is thin, but not – I mean, it's runny, but not too thin.
Well, somewhere I read that if you put a wooden spoon in, it should just kind of stick to the – you should have a thin layer on the spoon. So I'm trying that.
That's
right now.
A great measuring.
That's
a great way to measure it.
I just tried to. I think mine's perfect. I should just stop now. We should just end this show. Thanks for joining us. Trisha's batter is perfect.
Now you have to turn it into a fabulous little pancake. And then, of course, you have to turn it Italian.
Then I turn it Italian. Right. Okay, so I have this little pan here. I haven't even turned on my stove because my so Megan knows this, but recently I worked my stove to death. I mean, there's no doubt that I got every ounce of value out of that stove, and I just got a new one. Well, new stoves are very strong. And so I burned everything for 2 weeks because I couldn't figure it out. So I'm a little nervous. So with crepes, what do I want the heat on?
You know, I use with what the equipment we use a lot of times is a particular degree range. So I like to cook somewhere between around 385, 395 on the griddle, which is kind of high. But with guess we're doing it for a consumer, so the speed's kind of important too, and it doesn't, at that temperature, it's not going to dry it out, but it's going to give it that golden brown color, and then and kind of the texture on the outside as well.
So well, I have an old stove, and I did, mine was on, like, number 5, Tricia, over the weekend when I was trying it, you know, out of 6. So
okay, then on my stove,
that's
I need
pretty
to
high.
Do,
you need to do 2.
Right.
My old stove with no power, although, my stove is just fine.
So now, when I'm thinking of the times I've seen people make crepes on food TV and things like that. I'm not looking for a sizzle, right, when it goes down. Like with a pancake, I kind of want a little bit of a sizzle, but a crepe is more delicate, right?
Well, if you're getting a sizzle, it may be a little bit too high. Or you may, if you cook the pan with some cooking oil beforehand, you may just have a little bit too much oil in there. But, typically you don't want it sizzle because it kind of indicates it's going to be burning or a little bit more well done.
Yeah.
I can't wait one more minute. I'm ready.
Okay, I'm just buttering up my pan right now, actually, because even though it says it's nonstick, I don't trust it. There we go. But how do you – so I have an 8-inch. Okay, I just put it on there, and then I have to quickly move it around, right?
Yeah, so it takes actually 3 hands, I think.
Well, good, because my cat's
one
here.
One to scoop.
So
one to scoop and the other to swirl. All right, I'm scooping 1/3 of a cup into mine, and I'm swirling.
Mine looks like a spider. Now what do I do? Does that mean I didn't put enough batter on there, you think, Paul?
If it didn't fill your pan?
I couldn't hear what you said. What happened to it when you put it in?
I swirled it around, but it kind of looks like a spider. It didn't fill up the whole bottom.
Oh, yeah. You said you have an 8-inch pan?
Mm-hmm.
A third a cup.
You're probably going to want to be close to, like, maybe 3.5 ounces of batter.
Okay.
I did a third a cup. I think I have the same size pan as you. And I did, over the weekend, I tried it with a 1/2 cup, which is what Julia told me to do, but it wasn't enough. So I moved.
Well, wait a minute. A third of a cup is less than a 1/2 cup.
I mean a quarter. Sorry. I started with a quarter. I started with a quarter, and I did add butter. I'm telling you.
Okay, that's funny. Okay, so I've got it on here. How long do I let it go on one side? Does anyone know?
Well, it'll start
to,
like, peel away a little bit.
You know, the color will change a little bit, and it definitely won't stick when it's ready to be flipped.
Okay. So I just have to be a little patient, I think.
Yeah.
Can you ever flip? Can you flip a crepe like you flip a pancake, like without using the utensil, but just flip it on the pan?
People can. I don't think you can today. But people can.
Okay. That's what I just needed to know, that somebody somewhere could do that. I don't have to have that talent. Okay. Mine's getting brown around the edges, so I'm going to go ahead and flip. Okay, Paul, I have a question.
Yes.
So all these recipes – ooh, that looks nice, besides the fact that it looks like a spider. But it's golden brown. The all these recipes that talked about the batter, and then it would say chill it before you use it. Do you know why that is?
You know, I mean, I guess it allows some time to set up because it is a batter. I mean, you have your eggs, your milk, and – some fresh ingredients in it, but not coming from a culinary type background, I'm sure there's a much more
scientific,
reason why, but, not having that type of education and just hopping into this and really, using the same resources you guys did with, watching YouTube and looking at different recipes and then just playing around in the kitchen and coming up with our own. So,
okay, Paul. There's trouble in my crepe pan.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah, it's nothing like what I made over the weekend. Why is it? Well, it's a different recipe for one, but it all fell apart.
Well, you didn't chill yours. Maybe that's the reason.
I don't know,
but
it totally fell apart. It's in 6 pieces.
Hmm. Because you use buckwheat?
You're doing the buckwheat one?
I was doing the buckwheat one, yeah.
Okay, mine looks fabulous, just so everyone knows.
I mean, yeah, I definitely think the chilling allows for, I mean, maybe that's part of it, a bond or something with the flour, because, yeah, it shouldn't fall apart unless there's not enough flour in it.
Well, I'm just going to say that everywhere I read said the first one is a test one. So
this is true. This is
that,
true.
So this was just a test, so I'm going to try it again. But I'm wondering if my batter is too thin.
Mine's, I'm on number two, but I can't, even number two, I've got holes in it. I can't seem to get it to spread all around the bottom beautifully before it starts cooking. You know what I mean?
Well, I do, but you just need more batter.
Need more practice and more batter. Yep, I think you're right.
And a third hand. I think that would help.
Do the French have three hands? Is that how they do this?
I don't think so, but see, they're like Paul. They have better equipment. They don't have to swirl like we do with our hand.
They have the
scoop, and then they have that fancy little spreader thing.
Do you have a fancy spreader, Paul?
I do have a fancy spreader. I tell a lot of people if they're going to make them at home, there's a lot of crepe pans out there, and I mean, we've tested them and stuff and tried to make samples, but when we're testing out a new crepe batter recipe, whether it's a flavor or whatever it may be, I use a cast iron flat pancake griddle to test it out, and you don't get them as thin as you'd like them. You can even use a ladle to kind of spin out the circle. That seems to be the easiest way to get kind of a consistent for at home without having to buy something commercial.
It wasn't me. It was my new stove. Overcooked this one. Because it feels a little crispy on the outside, so I think I just need to do it. Like when you put a crepe down, what is it, like a minute or two? Or is that too long? How long do you cook one?
That's about right. I mean,
minute.
Yeah.
And the second side, I'm assuming it goes faster, right?
What's that?
Woohoo!
Oh goodness, what's going on over there?
Crepe number two is a success.
That's nice.
Yeah, see, it was just that test crepe. I'm telling you, I shouldn't have expected too much.
Yeah, you shouldn't even have told us about it. You should have kept it a secret.
Right, that's the beauty of radio. And here I went and told. It did fall apart on my second flip, but I think my batter's too thin, Paul.
So you should add more flour.
You can always add a little more flour to the batter to thicken it up.
Shoot, I was so excited, and now it all fell apart. Because I really wanted to just throw some butter on it and eat it, which probably will anyway. I would throw some more flour in, but it's not within my reach, so.
You'll get better at
We'll planning. Have to save that a little later. Meanwhile, I'm just going to try to taste this to see how my buckwheat crepe tastes, even though it's not pretty.
Okay, I seem to be getting more confident with each crepe, though, because this time I put in the batter, swirled it around, it looks great, and then I read this somewhere, with the excess, you just pour it back into your batter bowl, and I did that, and this is looking really great. My manicotti is going to be awesome, but it's not ready yet.
Well,
so, Paul, how many days a week do you eat crepes?
A lot. You know, spring, summertime is kind of a busy season for the mobile food, so we tend to eat quite a few crepes each day. Plus, with taste tests and stuff like that, it seems like maybe a day a week goes by and I don't have a bite of one.
Do you eat on the job? So are you – I know when you started, I think you told me that you were making the crepes, but now you have a couple carts and a couple trucks. So what's an interview process like for someone to work the crepe machine? Because I think I want to interview.
You are so confident. You are so confident right
when,
now.
Really, when I interview, it's one of those things that I had no training, so I watched YouTube and watched people spinning out the crepes, and then I just experimented with it and developed, my own technique. But really just hire on the character of the person. We do a lot of catering and things like that. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, you can teach anyone to make a crepe.
Oh, really? We thought we were doing something special.
We were special.
You can teach anyone to make
a crepe. Not to discount your efforts in any way, but.
All right. try crepe number three, and then we need to actually take a quick break. Paul, can you hang around for a few more minutes? Because we want to talk about the fillings. At least I want to talk about the filling in mine.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes with No Chefs Allowed.
And welcome back to No Chefs Allowed. Today's show is Bonjour Heritage Radio because it's No Chefs Allowed's debut on this new station, and we're super excited to be here. We have Paul Humphrey from Leslie's Crêperie, and he's walking us through how to make crepes in our own home. I'm personally finding it's a little bit easier than I thought. What about you, Megan?
Well, I think generally speaking, that's true. I had a really great success over the weekend when I was kind of testing out my new crepe pan. But today I'm having a little bit more of a struggle with this buckwheat crepe, just keeping it together. But really, I mean, truthfully, this is really simple. And it's a totally easy dinner to make with, you know, very few ingredients, right? So right. You have nothing to make. And the chilling part of the batter, having to chill it, maybe makes a difference. And if that's the case, you do have to plan a little bit ahead. But if you don't buy into the chilling part, then you can whip up dinner in about 10 minutes.
If you don't buy into the chilling part, you can just do it wrong if you want. That's what I thought you were going to say. I have to admit, mine was chilled almost all day, and I actually, now that I'm doing it, they're really coming out. They look really great, and that whole thing where I'm putting the batter on, I'm spreading it around, and then when there's excess on the top, I'm just pouring it back into my batter bowl before it even has a chance to, like, heat up. These are looking pretty good.
Cool.
I'm excited. So,
all right. Well, I've got at least one here that looks really, really nice. And, so Paul, here's my question. So I have cold ingredients, but I want I'm just putting ham and cheese inside this crepe, and I've got cold ingredients. Now I want my cheese to melt, obviously. What's the skinny? Once I turned it the first time, should I then start putting my stuff in it? Or once I flipped it?
You can do it either way. You know, we make ours fresh to order, so we're throwing the ingredients on while we're cooking the other side and letting the cheese melt and the ham warm up and all of those things. You know, if you're doing it at home for family for dinner, that's not the most convenient. So you can make the four or five, however many crepes you're making. And then if you just pull them off a little bit early, stack them with a piece of wax paper in between, you can then go back and fill them and kind of assemble them and then heat them back up on the skillet and they won't burn and do it that way.
Okay. Well, I threw it. So I had one in the works. So I threw the toppings on it, and I've now folded it kind of as if I'm going to make a square, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make a square. Are your crepes square or triangle?
We do a triangle and then slide it in a cone so you can kind of walk and eat it.
Yeah, nice. All right.
I like that. I had that when I was at Chelsea Market in New York City in the cone. I'd never eaten it that way before, but it is awfully convenient. I'm going to do that for my kids. They can walk around with them. It'll be awesome.
Cool. All right, well, I've made mine into a square, surprisingly enough. Now the question is, can I get this square out of this pan without it falling apart? That's the question.
So you folded it on the pan?
I folded it when it's still in the pan, yeah. And I just folded it over, you know, and then the edges over. So now I'm going to turn it over so all of my folding is hidden. And now I'm going to get my mushrooms that I've been making here. I don't know if you heard those cooking in the background, but and I'm going to put them over the top. Oh, it's lovely. I think I'll take a picture of that.
I keep eating mine. I'm not going to have any manicotti because I keep eating it. I had all those cheeses because I couldn't decide what I wanted, and so I just busted open the brie cheese and ate one with brie cheese in it, and it was super tasty. But maybe I need to stop. Maybe the moral of the story should be snack a little bit before you make the crepes so that there'll be some left for dinner. So you're not hungry. Okay, Paul, so what's the favorite filling of your crepe cart? So let's talk about some common fillings.
For us, probably our savory, our feta and spinach, amazingly enough.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that. We season it and then just put fresh spinach with feta cheese in. We tend to sell more of those than probably anything else. And then we also use local ham. So a lot of our ham and Gruyere, ham and smoked provolone, they tend to sell a lot as well.
Mm. See, that's right up my alley.
Now, when you do
that today.
That is right up your alley. It kind of reminds me of that asparagus ham and Gruyere thing that you made with that white asparagus that one time.
Yeah, that looked terrible.
It looked terrible, but it was good, right?
Looked really scary. But anyway, I digress.
So wait a minute. So some of these crepe batter mixes were, it would say, sugar optional. Like when you're doing a savory crepe versus a sweet crepe, do you have two different batters, one with sugar in it and one with not, or do you have one that goes across the board?
We have one that goes across the board. We developed it and created it ourselves, and the whole idea, since we didn't have a lot of space on a crepe cart, was that we only had room for one crepe batter.
Oh, that makes sense.
Since then, we have a chocolate and a pumpkin spice crepe batter that we do for sweet just to change things up.
Oh, so the batter is chocolate. You're not just putting chocolate inside.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun. Why didn't one of us make a chocolate crepe, Megan?
I don't know. I went for the buckwheat. I mean, I think I did my part.
That with ice cream is real good.
Oh, yeah. That does sound good.
That'll be something the kids will eat for dinner.
Yeah, chocolate crepe with ice cream in it.
Yeah.
In a cone. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be the best mom on the block. This is the best show ever. So, Paul, how do people find you? So you're a food truck and you have carts and I can come find you in Columbus, but how do I know where to find you?
Best way to track us is through our Facebook or Twitter. It's Leslie's Crepery. And we also have a website that has a calendar of where we're going to be. So we hop around to different festivals, different farmers markets, do a lot of operations in Grandview, things like that. But if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter or get on our website, it's pretty easy to know where we're going to be each week.
That's cool. Do you ever just be like, oh, here's a good place to park and just pull over? Or are you do you plan it out pretty well?
Yeah, you have to kind of plan it out pretty well. We have. When I first started, I definitely randomly would set up, but I was just trying to get the name out and the business out. But with the overhead of a truck compared to a cart, you really have to make sure you're planning where you're going, and that there's enough traffic flow or enough people in that area that are going to come to you to make it, you know, worthwhile.
Getting everything to the spot, right?
Enough
right.
French people? Do you need enough French people in the area to sell? No. Just kidding.
Just kidding. Columbus is loaded with French people.
Oh, my gosh, that made me laugh. Well, I'm feeling French today. I might put on a beret and...
Well, you make your manicotti. Got it.
Make my manicotti, yeah. Maybe I'll get Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah, you should. The go goes in French. Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. It was really fun talking to you, and good luck with your business venture and your food truck. And hopefully when I'm in Columbus soon, maybe I can find my way to your truck and meet you live and in person.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Tricia. Have you stuffed yours?
I haven't stuffed any because I'm too excited about actually making them. I'm just cranking them out right now. Because I think that once I get them all made, then I can put my stuffing in. And that, again, it's a simple, I'm going to use ricotta cheese, Parmesan cheese, a couple eggs to bind it, and some spinach. And then
yeah, and you're going to reheat yours anyway, so you don't have to, like, do it kind of on the fly like I did.
Right. I think I might be over, I don't know. I want to say baking them, but I'm not. Over cooking them a little bit. So I have to be, I think I need to err on the side of flimsier. But yeah. This is kind of fun. Like, it would be totally fun to have a crepe party and just crank these out and put out some things that people can stuff them with, and they all hang out in the kitchen and just eat.
Yeah, I think it's true. And I think especially the dessert stuff could be fun for even the kids to participate in. You know, get some Nutella and some powdered sugar and, you know, like apples, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it after I make my Italian manicotti with the French.
All right. Well, if you keep cranking them out, you might be able to do both today. Woo!
That's true. So this was totally fun, and it's our Bonjour heritage. So, Megan, I want you to tell everybody about our monthly ingredient challenge, too, and why you chose to work with buckwheat today, how you were killing two
all
birds.
All right. I was killing two birds with one stone. So, folks, No Chefs Allowed has a monthly ingredient challenge where Trisha and I kind of go head-to-head with an ingredient every month. We work with the ingredient for the entire month, and then we throw a dinner party at each of our respective kitchens. Mm-hmm. So this month, the month of May, is buckwheat.
Yeah, so Megan was one step ahead of me because now she's already used it the very first week.
Yep. Hello.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like how prepared you are at all times.
Yes, and I even not only made buckwheat crepes, but I also made my own buckwheat flour. So I've really – and I boiled some buckwheat over the weekend. So I'm really way ahead of you.
Yeah, you are. But I'm excited to work with buckwheat. And the thing that we found with our monthly ingredient challenge is – Since we're both busy and we both work full time and that whole thing, and we have kids and families, like, being able to focus on one ingredient and just playing with it all month has really let us try new things and decide whether or not we wanted them in our kitchens or not. And if we wanted them in our kitchens, we were already prepared to use them on a daily basis. So it's a great way to cook. It's a great way to learn. It's fun, and it's a great excuse for our dinner party.
That's right. So check out our website if you're interested in joining our buckwheat challenge. Check out our website. Follow us on Facebook. The website is nochefsallowed.com. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at No Chefs Allowed and see what we're cooking throughout the month. And let us know what you're cooking.
Yeah. It's totally fun. Well, I should have made a buckwheat filling for my crepes, but I haven't gotten
that. You still can. You have a whole month.
You're right.
Now that you've, quote, mastered the crepe. Then, so you can move on to new and different fillings, including, dare we say, buckwheat.
Yes. Well, I'm going to keep cranking these out until I got my dinner on the table. But, Megan, it was fun cooking with you today.
It was great cooking with you today, too. And thank you, Heritage Radio. We are so excited. We will be back next Monday. Same time, 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern. Same time, same place, and with a new ingredient. So look forward to that, and we'll be back next Monday with No Chefs Allowed.